Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Mark Neidinger, Deputy Assistant Administrator for Management in the U.S. Agency for International Development. And joining us in our conversation is Kim Hinsman. Well, Mark, in the last segment, you were taking us through the enterprise architecture for the HIV-AID project, AIDS project. And I'm curious, because as you talk how the project was managed, I imagine the two bureaus, the two offices, the Global Health Affairs Bureau and the Management Bureau, perform different functions, and yet they work together on this. And I'm curious, sort of, how did you facilitate communication?
Well, as I was indicating earlier, a key element in regards to enterprise architecture is making sure that the business segment is truly driving the activity. And so in regards to managing this activity, obviously we had a strong leader who understood enterprise architecture. But I think more importantly, as along those lines, is that we had a team of individuals within the HIV/AIDS area that we were able to leverage and use and have them participate in identifying the critical work processes and challenges and needs that they were facing, so that we needed to be able to capture those business issues and the current business processes. So to support that, and what the relationship was really the business area was driving the information to us. The IT area or the enterprise architecture team provided basically a medium by which to collect this information, a means by which to standardize this information, and a repository to place this information. And then basically the repository itself is the enterprise architecture repository, and we applied that repository then to come up with a variety of projects and initiatives and that would address, in essence, fill in those gaps that were identified by the program specialists, by subject matter experts. So the criticality of the success in this whole thing was having those individuals who understood the business be the key element to be able to make sure that we were capturing the true essence, the true picture of the HIV/AIDS area. And we did this through guided interview sessions. We did this through review of documentation. One of the areas of challenges I think that agencies and organizations have in regards to enterprise architecture is how do you obtain that information, and how do you leverage the time element of making sure that you have availability of the business subject matter experts. And in essence, a way of being able to capture this information in a means that you can then apply later. That framework was a cooperation between, again, the leadership in the HIV/AIDS area to say that this, the results of the enterprise architecture will help us, and the enterprise architecture team, which provided that framework and an opportunity to capture this information. So I give the bulk of the credit and for the success, because it was not just an IT organization asking questions and putting it into a enterprise architecture, but it truly was a partnership of interaction between the HIV/AIDS area and a team that could take this information and be able to place it within an enterprise architecture environment that then we can apply to help that organization. So it was a true partnership, with the business sector being the primary partner in this case.
What's the timeline for the project finishing, and for where you've described?
Well, for the work on the HIV/AIDS segment itself, we actually began the initial review of documentation and setting up the various meetings with the subject matter experts, and actually beginning the development of the repository in August of 2003, and had culminated in early February of 2004, which it, quite honestly, it was a tremendous effort given the complexity of enterprise architecture. And not only were we able to capture that component, but one of the key elements, as I indicated before, in regards to growing enterprise architecture and growing the interest and the champions at the business level within an organization, is that we also were able to demonstrate a result of the enterprise architecture and that data model that I talked about earlier. That was the time frame for that segment. One of the things that we focused on was, again, to make sure that we had a success at the end of that segment. And in making sure that we were able to capture this information in this short time frame, we also had to make sure that people understood what the results were going to be of the enterprise architecture. So a key element during that time was collecting the information, but also a key element was education. Education of the individuals that were involved, so they understood what was going to occur with that data and what the potential was, but also education in regards to those individuals that would have to take the next step. In other words, take those initiatives and move them forward. Also education in regards to sort of setting the platform for understanding enterprise architecture as we move into the next segment. Now that we have a framework, we'll be moving into the next business area. So we wanted to set it up like a snowball effect, and we wanted to leverage the excitement and the positive results so we can go immediately into the next segment. Basically, that we were able to accomplish that within that time frame. I think we were quite successful with it.
In addition to the excitement and the good working relationships with the business areas, what would you say are the critical success factors to making EA work?
I think there's two points there, because enterprise architecture can be claimed as a success at two different levels. It can be claimed as a success by just virtually collecting these levels of information I was talking about so that you have, in essence, a document that gives the entire story of the organization and how it operates. You can claim the second level of success and then taking that and applying it. And that's where USAID had evolved to, because with that, you then need to be able to structure a repository whereby the enterprise architecture information can be basically used, and where all these different interrelationships and the complexity of that can be applied so that results, be it initiatives, be it levels of competencies that are needed, be it projects, can materialize. Versus just a document that you then review and you come up with high-level recommendations. What the repository allows you to do is actually then go back to the specifics as to what drove that recommendation and why. What business need was being met? What gap was being filled? What are the risks? What are the costs? What are the capability changes, skill changes that need to occur? You have all that available within the repository. So it makes decision-making, it gives a much more solid basis for decision-making to occur, as opposed to, again, just capturing it and displaying it as maybe a contextual document. Because from there, you would have to do a lot of deep reading and then draw those comparatives to yourself. What makes enterprise architecture successful is going that next stage. But I think from a historical aspect, given that enterprise architecture is perceived as very complex, and it usually takes a great deal of time because we look at completing an entire architecture before we see results, and looking at the architecture focusing more in regards to the technical realm, so you don't have the visibility of the success of enterprise architecture beyond the IT walls. I think in the approach that we took, we were able to have the success in a short time frame because we were able to collect this information, apply it, and see immediate results within the HIV/AIDS area.
Can you tell us what were your biggest challenges in establishing and managing this EA project?
I think one of the major challenges, and it'll continue to be a challenge, is because enterprise architecture is complex, is education. Because given the way that an enterprise architecture operates, it's difficult for an individual to relate it to their daily lives. So in the education sessions that I've provided at the agency and in other areas, what I try to do is take a very simple process that a person's involved with on a daily basis and sort of bring that to the forefront as to, okay, well, what need is this action addressing? What are some of the value-added aspects that are needed to make sure that you can be successful in this activity? What are the competencies needed? Now, for you to go to where you want to be, what are the differences? So try to bring it down to simplistic terms and simplistic, I guess, actions. And then basically relate that to all this sort of happens within the enterprise architecture. Education is always going to be a challenge because it's difficult to imagine what an enterprise architecture can do for you. And I think the continuation of the education will also help people understand that the enterprise architecture itself is going to be able to provide some major benefits to them. But at the same time, it's a long-term investment. And enterprise architecture is never done because processes change, policies change, work processes change, technology investments change, and you need to refresh that. And as you refresh it, there are going to be other considerations that are going to be coming out of the enterprise architecture as to other things that you need to consider. So for it to be accurate, for it to be refreshed, the ownership of the architecture, enterprise architecture, really needs to be within the bounds of the business area, because they're the ones who understand the changes that are occurring. So education in regards to how it's applied, but also, in essence, how it needs to be maintained.
Will EA catch on, or is it just too complex? We'll ask Mark Neidinger of USAID for his perspective when the Business of Government Hour continues.